My sobriety date is September 27, 2010, which is about 3.5 months ago. And if you would have told me 4 months ago that I'd be standing up here in front of about 100 strangers telling you my whole life story, I probably would have laughed and told you you were full of it. And depending on how many drinks I had, maybe gotten a little more aggressive. But 4 hours ago, my sponsor reminded me that I had to do this. And I did everything in my power to get out of it. He was at work, so it was through text. We exchanged a few texts. He said, "Are you ready to do this?" I said, "This is the worst time. I need a couple more weeks. And, you know, I just have too much other stuff going on. I don't have time to do this right now." So he came back, texted me, "You know, it's not about you. It's about, you know, helping other people to get through what you did when you first came into the meeting." And I texted back, "The more you pressure me, the more you make me want to drink." So I thought for sure that would get me out of it. I thought by him feeling guilty that he sent me back into drinking that he would let me get out of it. But he didn't. He kept the pressure on and finally came and picked me up and got me here and got me up in front of you guys. So this is my story. I can remember alcohol being a part of my life for as long as I can remember. I was born in a small town south of Chicago, about 50 miles, called Bradley, Illinois. My father was an alcoholic. My grandfather was an alcoholic. Definitely runs in the family. The only thing I remember in that time period is just being at my grandmother's house, and there was always lots of drinking there. That's where the whole family gathered, drank, ate, you know, every weekend. And when I was about 3 years old, my mom, my dad, and me, we moved to Florida. Not really sure what the reason was. I think it had something to do with my dad's work. He got transferred or something. He was in the restaurant business. So there was always alcohol in the house. You know, I was always at the restaurants, always around alcohol. And it it didn't take long for me to see that my dad was an alcoholic. You know, he would come home later and later each night, and I would be there with my mom, you know, calling all the local bars that he used to go to when he would get off work and having them page him so I could find out where he was, because he wouldn't show up when he said he was. So it became pretty apparent that he was an alcoholic, and I didn't want to be anything like him. I wanted to be completely opposite of him, and he actually was the same way with his dad. He moved out when he was 16 because my grandfather, his father, was an alcoholic, and he wanted to be nothing like him, but he turned out to be exactly like him. And so when I figured out he was an alcoholic, you know, that is kind of when, you know, I realized I didn't want to be an alcoholic. But at the same time, I had easy access to alcohol. It was always around. I never really tried it, though, until I got into high school. A couple of things that happened along the way that, you know, kind of affected my life were, when I was about 11, my mom and dad had divorced when I was 7 or 8. When I was 11, I was signing up to play football for Little League football, and I came across my birth certificate because we needed that to sign up. And I saw this person's name on the birth certificate that wasn't my mom's name, and I didn't know who it was, and I thought it was the doctor's name, and I asked my dad whose name it was, and he told me that was my mother's name. So the person that I thought was my mom my entire life turned out not to be my mom. And the person who I thought was my brother for the last 8 years was really my half-brother. So that had a big effect on me, negatively, and I kind of wrote her off for not telling me and lying to me for my entire life, and affected my brother's relationship. He really looked up to me, and I, you know, I just kind of stopped hanging around with them. So when I got to high school, when I was about 14, I think that's when I had my first drink, and it was never just, from the beginning, it was never just a casual drinking environment. I mean, my friends and I would drink to get completely wasted. I mean, we weren't there to just have a couple of drinks and, you know, shoot the shit with each other. It was to get drunk, go home, puke, and do it all over again every weekend. Until I got to college. Actually, before I got to college, it was the first time I got in trouble. I got arrested when I was 17. Me and another friend of mine, we were going to a party in Tampa, and we ran a red light. We had a lot of beer in the car. We had weed in the car, and we had been manufacturing fake IDs at the time, when they were the old IDs, when they weren't holograms and everything. We were printing them out, and the cops pulled us over and got us out of the car, asked us how old we were. I told him I was 21. He looked at my ID, and he believed me, because that's how good the IDs were. So, eventually, you know, everything, they separated us, and they started playing us against each other, saying, you know, he's telling me everything's yours, and they were telling him I was saying everything was his. So we both ended up getting arrested for felony manufacturing of a government document, marijuana, possession of paraphernalia, and underage possession of alcohol. But since we were minors, we got lucky, and the felonies were reduced, and we got pretrial intervention and pretty much got off of everything with just a couple pieces of paper and a couple community service hours. So I got into a couple colleges after that. Ended up going to Florida State University for about 5.5 years is how long it took me to get my undergraduate degree. My third day in Tallahassee, I got arrested for, that would be my second time, my first time as an adult, for coming out of a convenience store with alcohol. And this time, the fake ID I had wasn't manufactured. It was just another person that I was using. And it was pretty obvious. The guy looked nothing like me at all. But I got a slap on the wrist for that. And, you know, I didn't feel really, it didn't really affect me. But, you know, we were drinking more and more, and drinking was getting pretty bad. I mean, we were drinking, by that time I was drinking daily. I keep saying we, but it was really I. you know, I was drinking daily, you know, skipping a lot of classes. My grades slipped. My father, after high school, my father never asked about my grades anymore, so I didn't really care about my grades anymore. When I turned 21... In 2000, I got my first DUI. Easter Sunday of April 2000 was my first DUI. Didn't know what to do about it, so I called my dad. He arranged for an attorney, and I got off of it. I refused the breathalyzer. And we won that case, and they reduced it to reckless driving, so I did 10 community service hours, and I was done. So that was great, you know. But by then, I was drinking every day, and probably starting earlier, probably in the afternoon. And it was just progressively getting worse. And then once I finally did graduate from school, and public speaking is one of my biggest fears. I didn't actually graduate. I walked, you know, at the ceremony. I walked, and Florida State sent me instead of sending my diploma in the mail, they sent me a piece of paper saying I had to take a speech class in order to graduate. So I went to HCC, took the speech class, got a D. and you need a C minus to pass. So I convinced my teacher that I had a family to support, which I didn't. And without the C in the degree, you know, I wasn't going to be able to support my family. So she gave me the C. Florida State gave me the diploma, and that was great. So I got out of another situation. You know, I'm manipulative, you know, just like alcoholics do. They manipulate everyone they're around. So I got what I wanted, and then in 2004, I got my second DUI. And it was in June. It was my friend's birthday. We always celebrate his birthday the same day. What I meant to say was, it'll make more sense. Because the following year, I got a DUI on the same day, is what I meant to say. But anyway, so this DUI, I didn't take the breathalyzer. Got out of that one somehow. The cops didn't show up. So I have no breathalyzers on against me. And that charge got reduced to reckless, and I got off on community service hours. The following year, same day, same friends, got my third DUI, and didn't take the breathalyzer, because at this point, I was invincible. I was winning everything, you know, but this time I lost, and I had a 90-day suspension, and that was fine. You know, I dealt with the 90-day suspension. I think I got pulled over once for driving, and I got arrested for that. But they just thumbprinted me, and I went on my way. Well, I didn't go on my way. Somebody picked me up and drove my car. But the next year was my fourth DUI, and I didn't blow again. So it would have been a 18-month hard suspension, but that got thrown out. And the charge got thrown out altogether, so nothing happened on that one. Well, September 25th of this year, I was coming back from a Rays game. I don't know who I was with. I was completely blacked out. I lost my keys, wallet, and cell phone. So to get into my place, I tried to break the back window, and I did. And I was bleeding everywhere. And my neighbors called the cops, and the cops showed up. And I was passed out on the ground with Steak and Shake spread all over the place. And they were nice enough to give me a ride to my friend's house. I couldn't prove that I lived there, but my friend was able to vouch for me. That was my address. So they gave me a ride over there. And then the following day was Sunday, September 26th. While the locksmiths were at my house, I was drinking with them. And as soon as they got the locks to my house done, they changed the transmission locks on my truck, and I got in that and got my fifth and final DUI. And that's when I realized that I had to stop drinking. not only that, it was the first time I had to spend the night in jail and put in the jumpsuit because nobody bailed me out. Nobody knew I was in jail. And I barely got out just in time before I had to go into general population where my dad was at, and that was the last thing I wanted to do. So that's kind of where I had my spiritual awakening and realizing that I just couldn't do it anymore. I mean, I tried too many times and gotten too fortunate, and this time was the worst. I mean, I could have killed myself or killed somebody else. So that's my story, and without AA and my sponsor, I would probably either be still in jail or dead for sure right now. You know, the program, as long as you work it and you stay with it and go to meetings like I did, I went to, you know, as many meetings as possible. It really does work. And that's all I got. Thank you.